Welcome. You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM radio. You are listening to Linda Sims, and my program is called A Voice of a People. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. There is an opportunity for you to download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. And that way you will be able to take advantage of the other programs that we offer on our station. You won't be disappointed. Let me share with you those who faithfully support the Voice of the People, starting with Chappies Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, and it reads as so. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month, and the time is from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. And that is at Logos Christian Ministries, location 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration or paperwork required. Simply provide your name and number of people in your family. And that's this Saturday. All of you who are listening, I think that would be the 11th. This Saturday, the 11th, August the 11th. The free produce at Logos Christian Ministries. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939, and they are in LaRue, Ohio. And thank you once again for listening to A Voice of a People. Let me share my thought I have for you today. Ability is what you are capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitude determines how well you do it. So we all are given different gifts and talents and abilities. So that means, you know, you may not have a PhD, but you're still capable of performing a majority of tasks just from, you know, innuendo or just reading books or whatever, and watching other people. You know, sometimes we learn by watching others. Motivation. Now, that's the hard part for some people. You have to be motivated to want to do anything, to even use your abilities or your gifts and talents. Are we all motivated? Are we all lazy? Just want to lay around and watch TV or play your video games? Or is something pushing you and trying to shove you to get up and to move into action? And I think we all have that nudging. And I think we have that nudging of a higher power, God or the Holy Spirit, which some people do use. So, motivated. Are you motivated? I use motivation a lot in passwords and keys because I want to be motivated. I don't want to be the type of person that's just so lazy that I can't get up and I don't want to get up and I'm so depressed. And because we all go through depression, right? Yes, we do. And we're not always ready to do anything because we're not the type of people that we consider always. We change all the time. Our motivation changes. Our determination changes. Your attitude determines how well you do it. Do you have the attitude where you want to super exceed or super excel, extraordinary relationship, extraordinary job? I want to do an extraordinary job on my job, or I want this extraordinary company. And if you have that great expectation, then you will really give it your all because you're looking for the best. And a lot of times when you're looking for the best, you don't accept anything less than what you know the best that you can do. So So that's my thought for today. Ability is what you are capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do, and attitude determines how well you do it. Well, I'm solo today. I am my own guest, so just bear with me today. I'm going to go over something that I've talked about before, and it's called predestination. And it goes, does predestination mean that God has already predetermined who will be in his kingdom? You hear people say, well, you know, when I go to heaven, I want to see my mother. I want to see my daughter or my granddaughters. Or you hear people saying that they want to see a lot of people that they have had in their life on this earth. And I've also heard people say, you'll be surprised who's not in heaven. And I don't even know if we're going to even have our mind set on who's here and who's not here once we go through being raptured up, you know, if that is true, and if you believe in that, and if that actually does happen, will our mind be set on what's in heaven other than our Creator? So I think I'm more concerned about seeing our Creator, my Creator, than anyone else that I've already seen. And if God has predestined for us to go there and to be with our families, then so be it. I'm not against that. I'm just saying that I really want to see my Creator. I'm not too worried about anyone else. So what can we do about that? So what we can do about that is share the Word of God and try to help lead others to Christ. That way, maybe they have a chance to make it there too. So, when we get back to predestination, God created this world, starting with Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God, he created everything that we see. And he also created the materials, things that would provide materials for man to make houses and buildings and cars and trains and planes. You know, that's how all those things came about. And the heavens and the sea and the things that are in the sea. So, when Adam came on this earth, and Adam was given a job, a task to do, and that was to name all the animals. And he communed or had communion with God every day, which they walked and they talked together. No, maybe we can't fathom that because, you know, that's so far away from our imagination that Adam possibly walked with God every day and talked with him. You know, so. But every animal had a mate. So God decides that Adam was lonely and it was not good for man to be alone. But you find people saying, okay, well, I'm happy by myself. I don't need a husband. I don't need a wife. But God did not design us to be that way. He designed us that we needed one another. Okay? So he said, I made them male and female so that they could complement one another. And that's what God did. Now, he brings Eve on the scene after Adam was here. And who knows how long Adam was here and was with God and had time to name all the animals. Not just all the animals, but the insects and the birds and the fish and the water. And if there were dinosaurs, and we believe that there were dinosaurs and dragons, and they all had their names. Who knows how long that took Adam to do. So then Eve's come. Adam is lonely, and God notices that Adam is lonely. So he says, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. I'm going to make someone that he can sit and talk to and laugh with and cry with and be intimate with so that I could have my world repopulated with people. He said, I have made them in my image and in my likeness. So when you looked at Adam, it was almost like looking at God, because if he was made in his image and in his likeness, then God was like a man. Okay? So Here comes Eve. Was it predestined that, even though God gave a commandment to Adam not to eat of the fruit, that one tree in a garden among probably hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of trees, but this one tree, do you not eat of it, Adam? The day that you do, you shall die. So I'm sure Adam told Eve about the tree. So then Satan, the serpent, that evil one that we call the devil, he suggests to Eve, has God said you can't touch this tree? You can't eat of this tree? She tells him, no, we can't eat of that tree, but all these other trees in the garden we may eat of, but not this one tree. We can't. God says, no, neither shall we touch it. Now, follow along with me just for a moment. We're all human, right? I think we all are that are listening today. But if someone says, okay, I bought a whole bag of apples, but there's one orange left in that refrigerator. Leave my orange alone. I don't want anybody touching my orange. So when you go back to get your orange, that orange is gone. Why would you touch my orange when I had all this other fruit that you could eat of? And I said, go ahead. I don't have any problem with that. Just leave my orange for me. And maybe if I had not have brought that to your attention, maybe you would have never touched it. Have you ever thought about that? I wondered why, you know, God said, okay, all these trees you may eat of, but this one tree, don't you dare touch it or eat of it. The day that you do, you shall die. Well, quite naturally, you're going to wonder, what is it about this tree? It looks like all the other trees. The fruit looks good. I'm sure Eve had thought about it many times before the enemy even suggested to her, did God say you can't eat of this tree? Sometimes when things are brought to your attention, you are inquisitive about it. So it probably didn't take much for her to touch that tree, to pluck that apple or whatever it was, and to eat it. And then it says that Adam, he was with her. And he did eat too. So that must mean that he had been inquisitive about that tree and probably wonder, well, why can't we eat the fruit of this tree out of all these trees in the garden? Why is there just one special tree that we can't touch or that we can't partake of? I don't know really what was going through their mind, but I'm just, you know, looking at my mind and what I think about, you know, it's just like when your mother tells you, well, you can go for it. Mom, can I go outside and play? Yes, you can go outside to play, but you stay in the yard. You stay within the fence. Well, you don't want to stay within the fence. I remember riding my bike when I was 11, 12 years old. And Dad said, stay on that sidewalk. Don't put that bike in the street. What did I do? I put that bike in that street. I rode that bike. I threw my brother on the back end because it had the little flat place where you could ride people on the back end of your bike. Oh, I'm riding so good. I'm going so fast. I'm riding with no hands now, right? So what I try to do is turn into a street, do a U-turn, and come back out with no hands and my brother on the back. What was I thinking? Okay. We immediately fall in the middle of the turn. He gets up crying. And I'm still kind of knocked out, just dazed, right? And some guy comes down because he sees us have this accident. And he's saying, oh my God, look at her foot. My leg was straight and my foot was completely turned sideways. So I broke my ankle. I didn't die, but I did get hurt because I disobeyed my dad. He said, don't put that bike in the street, Linda. But I'm thinking he can't see me because he's in the house, right? So when you look at yourself and think about some limits or boundaries that you should have in your life, that we cross those boundaries oftentimes. Oftentimes, we even cross boundaries we set for ourselves. So you know we cross boundaries that God has set. So I feel that the predestination part was God knew that we would be so inquisitive he gave us this mind, right? That we would be so inquisitive that eventually we were going to, they were going to eat that fruit anyway. They were going to touch that tree anyway. As long as they were in that garden, they would always be looking up at that tree and wondering, why can't we touch it? So I may be wrong, but I think the predestination was, it's just dealing with your own mind. And God knew that they were human and that they were going to touch that tree eventually. So he had to make a way to atone or make it okay. Yes, they did die spiritually that day, but they lived for many, 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 many more years. Adam lived to be 900 and, I think it was 930 years. Methuselah lived to be 969 years. So Adam lived almost as long as Methuselah. So it wasn't an immediate death like we die and are buried in the ground, you know, until eternity. But they did die spiritually. That's what I've come to understand. So to me, the predestination was that he knew that they were going to sin. He knew that they were going to obey him. He knew that they would pick of that fruit and eat it. He knew that. So he had already planned these things. I think we all have an opportunity. We all have a chance to not disobey. But God realized that once they ate of that fruit, that covering that he had covered them with was gone. That shield of protection was not there anymore from the devil. You know, he may have audibly spoken to Eve, but you know, he speaks to us too. He sends us suggestions because he is the prince of the power of the air. So it's like radar, sending radar into our minds. And it's up to us to entertain these thoughts or to dismiss these thoughts. Because we do have control over that. But do we always do that? No, we don't always do that. Like I said earlier, we do not always do anything. The only thing that does not change is God. He says, I am the first and the last. And he says, I am God and I change not. Only one. But people change all the time. We change our mind. We change our clothes. We change our perfume. We change our glasses. We change our hairstyle. We change our mates. Whether another man or another woman, we divorce, we change homes, we change consistently all the time. We don't eat the same thing every day. So we change, right? Okay. The belief that God has already predestined our lives and our rewards or punishments is a mistaken understanding of the subject of predestination. This is what I'm reading. I don't know who the author is at this moment. I may have to get through the whole flyer here. I do know, I think that God is forever. He's eternity. And my perception of that is, and he is not limited by space or time, that God has already been to the end of the world. He's already seen everyone that was going to be born. He's already seen all the decisions that we were going to make, how we were going to end up. I mean, he had to be able to make a way of escape for us. He had to. He's not surprised when we lose someone we love. He's not surprised that, you know, I was going to fall off that bike and break my ankle and had a cast from my toe almost to my derriere back there, okay? He wasn't surprised. He already saw that. He already saw who I was going to marry. He already saw how many children I was going to have and how many children they're going to have and who they're going to marry. I just believe that. Now, I may be wrong. And if you have your own opinion, and maybe you would even like to call in and jump in on this subject of predestination. Does predestination mean that God has already predetermined who will be in his kingdom? The telephone number here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio is 740-383-9944. I would be so interested to know your thoughts and your opinions concerning this subject. And maybe, you know, a lot of people don't want to go there. I'm sure you do have an opinion about it, though. And it may be the right one. I'm not saying mine is right. I'm just giving you what I have perceived from reading the scripture and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, it says in that one paragraph I read, the belief that God has already predetermined our lives and our rewards or punishments is a mistaken understanding of the subject of predestination. Well, rewards is sort of like works, and punishments is already set in the law. So if you don't abide by the law, then back in those days you were punished. Remember the snake that was on the stick like a statue, and the people of Israelites were supposed to look at that snake, and if they didn't, it would bite them and kill them. Remember that in the Bible? That was a punishment. That was a punishment for not keeping God first. Not only that, but not believing his word when he tells you something, you know. That was a punishment. If you live by the law, you die by the law. That's a punishment. It's already set in stone. So you want to call that predestination? Or yes, we are under grace. Christ came to fulfill the law, but he did say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. That means keep him first. Keep him first, the best that you can, in all that you say and do. And love your neighbor as yourself. How far away are we from that? Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh my, the day that we live in right now, we can't hardly even say hello and goodbye to one another unless someone has an attitude. Well, we've come a long way from that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are laws. Those are laws that will not be erased. They're not going anywhere. But some of those laws about what I should eat or what I should wear, what I should drink, or where I should go. I can't go around those people, and I can't go to the show because I'm holier than thou, and I'm set a certain way, and I just can't step out of that boundary. Well, as a man thinketh, so is he. You can think out of your boundary. Sin is sin. You can think things that, you know, thoughts come into our mind. And if you don't get rid of those thoughts, eventually you will act on those thoughts. And they're not necessarily nice. Not all of them. Okay. The subject of predestination. We have a scripture, Ephesians 1 and 5, tells us that God predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Speaking of Christ, verse 11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The counsel of whose will? His will, God's will, not our will. It's not about our will or our way. It's just not about that. Romans 8, 29 and 30 adds, for whom he foreknew. Foreknew means what? Before. Before they entered the scene, he foreknew them. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, this is not man talking. This is God's word. So he's saying he also predestined. He predestined him who he foreknew to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So if he had not predestined these things, or people to come on the scene, on the earth, he knew he was going to call them. So let me back up. So is it saying predestined mean God knew what kind of person this was going to be? Now that's where I that's where it leads me. He already knew what kind of person this person was going to be. He already knew the character of this man. He already knew. He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I already knew you. I already knew how I was going to use you. I already knew that. That's not predestined. That's not predestination. You're not predestined to be here and to live the life that you're doing. It says, man, you know, we sit around and we decide what we're going to do every day. But it says God directs your steps. No matter what plan you have made up about what you're going to do. And we think that we're so big and we're so powerful and great and we can't even put one foot before the other. How great is that? We are completely and totally dependent upon God. So I guess we all need to take a step back and take in a deep breath and let God be God. Right? And this is what this pamphlet is saying. In reading these two scriptures I just read to you, there are two ways we can understand predestination. One way is to assume that God has everyone's life already planned out and that he already knows what we are going to do, which is what I just said. Another way to understand predestination is from the perspective that God planned the purpose for human beings in the beginning to become his sons and daughters. Although he doesn't know what each of us will do, let's consider a few additional scriptures to see which way we should understand these passages. That was just saying the same thing that I said, right? Okay. In Genesis 4, we read of God talking with Cain. Remember, Cain killed Abel. The first two brothers. I don't know if they were twins or not. They could have been. It doesn't specifically say if they were twins. Okay. Cain was upset that his offering was not accepted. God told him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. If God had already predestined what Cain would do, it would have been pointless to give Cain the advice to rule over sin. Not really. We have options. We have options every day. God always provides a way out. So he was giving Cain the way out of getting caught up in sin. Now God may have known that he was not going to take the way out. You know, it was because of his attitude, which I talked about earlier. It was about his attitude. He was determined that he was going to get rid of his brother because he was jealous of his brother. And jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And the grave is very cruel because once you're there, you're there. God gave Cain this advice and then allowed him to make his own decision. Now, this is Free Moral Agency. The opportunity God gives us to make choices regarding what we will do. And that's what that was all about, making choices. He gave Cain an option. He had to choose which way he was going to go, which option he was going to take. What door was he going to open and walk through? So he had the opportunity to walk through door A. Not be caught up in his hatred for his brother. Okay. Now, the opportunity God gives us to make choices regarding what we will do. In Deuteronomy 30 and 19, God encouraged the ancient Israelites to choose life. That is, choose his way of life so they could receive blessings. Again, if God already knew what choice they would make, this encouragement would have been pointless. I just really don't see it the way that this is reading. We give our children options every day.
options.
I was talking to my grandson one day, and I said, well, what do you want to do? I gave him two options, you know, and he took the one I didn't want him to take. And he said, now look at him. I said, well, why did you do that? You know what he said? Well, you gave me an option. Oh, okay, so I'll make sure I won't give you no more options. Right? Okay. We are free will agents. God gave us a mind to choose to think on our own. And it's up to us whether we will choose door number one or door number two. One being the God's way, number two being our way. Well, aren't you glad that God gave you a mind that you can think on your own and that He does not control us that way? What kind of life would that be? What kind of God would He be if He just... We were like robots. He did not want robots. He wanted His people to want to be with Him, to want to obey Him, to want the life that only He could give them. You know, and it doesn't mean that you're in this little box because you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin. We're not in a box. I saw a pastor... Sunday, he was like in mummy clothes, walking around the floor saying, okay, this is what Christians today look like. Mummies wrapped up in all that swaddling cloth, and they can't move. They can't move their arms. Who wants to be like that? And you're trying to tell people, okay, you need Christ in your life, and you lead a person to Christ, or try to, and they're like, well, I'm not sure if I want to live like that, because we have set up these standards, and we're trying to tell people this is what Christianity looks like, and that's not necessarily true, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We're no longer bound. No more chains holding us. You're bound when you're out in the world without Christ. You're dead when you're out in the world without Christ. Just like the show Dead Men Walking, or the Walking Dead. Okay? Life comes when you receive Christ as your Savior from sin. Then you become alive. Then you become free. Because without that, we're bound by sin. We're bound by sin. Only Jesus has made a way to bring us out of sin. He's paid the price that we could not pay. And the punishment for sin is death and separation from God eternally. We could not pay that price. He did. He paid that price for us. So all of this had to be a part of His plan. But I don't believe that we're robots. I don't believe that. God wants us to choose and live His way. He doesn't know in advance what each of us will do. And I disagree with that, because He already knows our character. And your character says who you are. He says, I even know your thoughts afar off. Okay. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and between bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He even knows what you intend to do, even though you try to shade it over and say, well, I didn't mean that. Have you ever said that? I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. He even knows your intentions. So, and this goes on to say, the scriptures speak for themselves. All you need to know is what He says in His word. He foreknew us, and those of us He foreknew, He predestined. Again, He said He knew us before the world was made, and we are to be used for His purpose. That's Romans 8, 28 and 30. Through 30, we do not have free moral agency. However, He directs our path. We're free agents. We have free will. Yes, we do. We do disobey, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. We do disobey. God said that he knew what was in man and what man was. Dirt. We came out of the dirt, to the dirt we return. And he knew that we had no power over sin. None. In the days of Noah, he said he even repented that he made man, because man grew worse and worse. They were so wicked and their every imagination was evil. So are we headed back that way again? There's a lot going on. Okay. Now, talking about Paul. He was blinded, not just because of the bright light of Jesus, but so God could use him the way he did. He directed Paul's path for his purpose. And he directs our path for his purpose. He hasn't changed. He said, I change not. And he does the same thing. Okay? For his purpose. For his will. His way. And like I was saying earlier, we think that we're really doing something. He says, except I abide in you, and you abide in me, without me, you can do nothing. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. Nothing. We can't breathe without him. We can't walk, talk, move. In him we live and breathe and have our being. In him we do. Okay? So foreknew, predestination is really a big word. It is a big word. It is a vast word. And there's all type of opinions about it. Whether God knows what you're going to do, what you're going to say, where you're going to go, who you're going to marry, when you're going to die, when you're going to be born. Well, I kind of put it like this. If he did not predestine it, then who did? I know many people have left this world. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to die. And some of the way that we die, who would ever want to say, well, I want to fall out of an airplane and land on top of a mountain and die like that? Do you think when God told Moses after he sinned and hit the rock a certain way and didn't give God credit for it, he told Moses to go up on that mountain and die? Do you think Moses wanted to die? He said, just for that, you will not go into the promised land. He had already killed Aaron and Moses' sister, Miriam. Can you imagine? Is that how we leave this world? How we come here? How we go? None of this is predestined. Door A or door B? I guess a lot of it depends on just being obedient. You know, I believe that the Lord talks to us all kind of ways. Through other people, through a magazine article, through the Bible, through dreams. I think there's always warnings. Whether something good is coming our way or something bad coming our way. We may not be able to distinguish it at the moment, but when it happens or get, you know, we say, oh wow. Deja vu, right? I saw that. I heard that before. And it looks familiar to you. So how did that come about? How did that happen? You know, do we know what to dream ourselves? And I think sometimes we try to give ourselves too much credit. Because we can't create ourselves. It's only through us that we can bring forth seed, our children, and, like he told Adam and Eve, you know, replenish the earth and subdue it. That means fill the earth with life and subdue it, maintain it, and take care of it. They were brought here for that. Man and woman was brought here for that purpose, to reproduce. To reproduce. Beings, human beings, and only man and women can produce. A man and a woman can only produce another human being. No matter how much people clone, or get these robots offline, which I've heard that they have robots offline that men and women are ordering, a woman ordering a man to be with, or a man ordering a woman to be with. Where's the feelings? Where's the love? Where's the compassion? I don't know. Maybe they can talk to you. I don't know. It just kind of baffles my mind that that's where we have gone. And like God said, in the days of Noah, when he sent that flood, the thoughts of man was continually evil, that he repented that he made man. It just made him sick. And are we headed back that way again? Because man's imagination can't put a hold on it, you know. He has a mind. He thinks. And who can tell him what to think about? No one. No one. Because it's your mind. It's your free will agent. Well, I hope some of you enjoyed that predestination. It really helps me to think about certain things in my life and where I am and where I hope to be. But I have to let God lead me, guide me, and show me his way. Because if I get up and I go my way, there's always a price to pay, seems to be. Well, I feel unfulfilled. Now, why did this happen and that happen? But did they really mean what they said? You know, I don't know about you, but I question everything and I analyze everything because I'm an analyst, and I do. What did they mean by that? You know, so I do understand myself to a certain extent. I do understand, you know, like people around me to a certain extent, you know, and I do understand God to a certain extent. But God is too vast for us to ever understand completely or to know his thoughts or his motivation for what he does. But I do know this, is that he loves you. He died for you. He gave up the whole world for you, that you might live and have life in that more abundantly. And to know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will be with you always, even until the end of the world. So be encouraged, those of you who are listening. It's not over yet. We will do many great things as long as we are alive. And as long as we look to our helper. Look unto the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Till next time, be blessed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is, I want to see all the books rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like everyone to take back what they said. I want to say no, 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 no. And that may sound a little weird, but I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I read, and Utah and I talked about this the other night, that write stuff and try to pass over this and make it out like it really isn't here, and it's here. They said it's here, it's done, and what she said, and I want everyone to know, she wrote the truth. She would never lie. You could offer her any amount of money, and she would not tell a lie.
To legendary zoologist from The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and Conan O'Brien, Jim Fallon.